إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my brothers and sisters, yesterday we spoke about earning assets and how that relates to our amal and when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalala. Today I want to remind myself and you about the issue of hisab, the issue of accounting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that issue of accounting, if I relate it in the same way, that accounting is assessing our net worth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is net worth? I'm sure you've heard of these terms, you know, HNI, high net worth individual, and so on and so on. So net worth is a measure of your financial health. Because basically what net worth is that it says that if you sold all your assets to pay for all your liabilities, what would be left? That is net worth. So Therefore, every financial decision you make must have only one goal, or one of two goals, either to increase your assets or to decrease your liabilities. Now, anything which is the other way around, which increases your liabilities and decreases your assets, is insanity, it's crazy. Nobody with any financial sense will ever do that. Therefore, if you look at people in this world, appearance of somebody is not a reliable sign of financial health. A person on the point of total financial collapse can look very good. Because what is total financial collapse? Total financial collapse is where the liabilities are far in excess of assets. So even if you liquidate all the assets, there is no way that those assets will pay for even a fraction of the liabilities. How does that happen? Number one reason is borrowing. Number one reason. We hear so many cases. Somebody has 20 credit cards and he's maxed out on all the 20 credit cards. He's borrowed from the banks, then he is now borrowed from the open markets to pay the banks, which means that he is taking short-term financing to cover long-term financing, which is completely insane. I mean, if you did the opposite, then it would be bad enough, but there would be some sanity in that. But if you take short-term financing to cover long-term financing, if you're borrowing on a day rate to cover a term loan, then it means that you are completely mad. But this is what people do. This is what people do. They are paying 36% interest on the open market to service a loan which is costing them maybe 8%, maybe 9% over a long period of time, which is a term loan. But they are doing that. So, but if you look at that person, when a person is maxed out on credit cards, meaning what? Meaning he's buying probably good clothes, he's buying jewelry, he's buying watches, he's living it up. So every day you see him in a 5-star hotel in the evening, you see he's driving this fancy car, that fancy car. So the person looks very good. He's living in a very flashy condo, or he's got this massive villa that he's got with a swimming pool and whatnot. So here you've got a person who looks very good, but that person is on the point of financial collapse. More than likely, when he goes, and he might end up committing suicide or something. But we see those cases also. On the other hand, if you walked into Walmart and you find Mr. Warren Buffett there, more than likely you will find him pushing a trolley, picking up groceries. On the face of it, he's not looking very good. I mean, here is a man who looks like, maybe he's a middle-class American guy. Driving a regular American car, he's not driving a Mercedes, he's not driving a BMW, he's not driving a Rolls Royce, he's driving a regular, Lincoln or something. And He's pushing his own trolley in Walmart. So I say, who's this guy? He says, Warren Buffett. Oh my God, he's Warren Buffett. 1 hour lunch appointment costs $250,000. That's the fees. 1 hour lunch, and you pay for the lunch also. Who looks better? And the reason is net worth. Warren Buffett's net worth is more than that of this financial guy. Meaning that if you take all of Warren Buffett's assets and sell them, they would not only cover his liabilities, but they would cover the liabilities a million times over. Whereas if you have this other guy, whoever he is or she is, and if you sold their all their assets, then there's no way those assets will cover the liabilities. So now, point being, how does this relate to our amal? This is exactly what our amal are. This is exactly what our amal are. On the day of judgment is a day when our net worth will be assessed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the malaika to check, for example, the fard salawat. Did you pray all your fard? And if there is a shortfall, then they will say, look in the nawafil. Look in the sunnah. Did you pray the sunnah? And if the sunnah is prayed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, add that up as the fard. Nawafil have been prayed, okay, put that also in the account of the fard. Make up the account of the fard. What's happening here? You are assessing your net worth, right? So this is my, these are my assets. What are my assets? My assets are all my good deeds. My assets are the fact that I ate halal. My assets are the fact that I earned halal. My assets are the fact that I fulfilled all my faraid, and so on and so on. What are the liabilities? We know what they are. So now when you equate one with the other, what is left? More assets or more liabilities? It's as simple as that. And this is exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he came to Makkah. And I remember I mentioned this several times. If you say that what was the single thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he came to Makkah, which changed the lives of the Sahaba and which introduced Islam, what was the single thing that he brought? He brought only one thing. He brought only one thing. What was it? Was it a new system of agriculture? Was it a new financial model for business, for the Quraysh? Was it a new logistic system which was more efficient than the camel caravans? What was it? It was a criterion of judgment. It was a way of calculating net worth. What Rasulullah ﷺ came with was a formula to calculate net worth. And what did that do? That changed the definition of high net worth individual. The formula for calculating net worth that the Prophet ﷺ brought changed the definition of high net worth individual from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That's all it did. It changed the definition of high net worth individual from Abu Bakr, from Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What do I mean by that? I mean that net worth used to be assessed in terms of material. Material wealth. How much of gold, how much of property, how much of this, how much of that. Rasulullah ﷺ changed that formula and said, this is not the right way of assessing net worth. Assess net worth in terms of wealth which lasts. Take again the same worldly examples. The problem is we see these examples day in and day out, but we learn nothing from them. If you are assessing somebody's wealth, right? You got a guy with assets. Which are in excess of liability. So, very nice. That means net worth is good. Now, in those assets, if you are doing an asset analysis, all assets are not equal. There are different kinds of assets. So, somebody has got the vast majority of his wealth in the share market. So, if the person, if you take his net worth, his assets are massive. But vast majority of the wealth is in the share market. There's another person whose vast majority of wealth is in gold. Whose portfolio is more healthy? Is somebody who's got his vast majority of wealth in real estate. Whose portfolio is more healthy? The one who's got his portfolio, his vast majority of wealth is in real estate. His liquidity may not be that great because to circulate that money is not so easy. But if you take in terms of the health of the assets, you would say, well, this is a far better, because there's far less chance of fluctuation. The worth of it increases. The real estate, especially in this country, only goes one way, which is up, and so on. So you say this is great. I mean, this is a very nice, very healthy portfolio. This other guy who's got it's all paper. I mean, it's all stock market. It's good, okay, but if there is a crash, if the market crash overnight, he'll go to zero. The same thing happens, and that's exactly what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. He said that if you are going to assess your net worth in terms of assets that do not last, assets which are going to lose value over time. And what is that time? That time is in terms of dunya wal akhirah. You've got a bunch of assets, you've got money and so on and so on. What value is that when you go into your qabr? Nothing, zero value. You know, I own this, I own that. Very nice, you own all of that. Now when you go into your qabr, that asset actually can turn into a liability, because in terms of what you own, if you did not earn that halal, then you are in trouble. Even if you earned a halal, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and hisab is for what? Hisab is for halal. Hisab is no hisab for haram. For haram there is azab. So if Allah takes hisab, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will take hisab for everybody, then the more assets you have, the longer hisab you will give. When Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu was given the Bashar of Jannah, and he was one of the 10, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, he said, I thought Allah will not give you this Bashar. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu started crying. He said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you saying that? He said, you took so long to come. For your name to come, it took so long. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why? He said, because of your wealth. Now the wealth of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is haram. There's nothing more halal than that. When Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu passed away, he left in his will, he left money for all the people who were in the Battle of Badr and for the Ashar Mubashara who were left. And Abu Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu died in the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was one of the people who was named in his will to say this much money should go to him. So people went to Sayyidina Uthman and they said, you know, you are a wealthy man by yourself, you are the Khalifa. Do you want to accept this? Because this is like a, you know, I mean, it's a gift, all right, but it's from somebody's will. So is it, do you think it is beneath your dignity or something? Sayyidina Uthman said, I am honored to accept it. There is nothing more halal than the wealth of Abdul Rahman Nauf. He said, it's a great honor for me that he remembered me in his will, and it's an honor for me to inherit from him. And for him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hisab is so long that Allah subhanahu, I thought almost Allah will not give you Jannah. Eh? So where are you, where am I? So the issue of assessing net worth in terms of amal, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He changed this framework. So what did Abu Bakr Siddiq, what did he do? What did the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mother Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, what did she do? On the face of it, what did they do? They finished their wealth. They literally impoverished themselves. But is it what they did? Or were they investing in assets which are a better set of assets than what they had? Even though what they had is halal, when they start investing, if you take your money out of the share market and you put it into gold, what do you say? Exactly the same thing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see these things and to take lessons from them and to change our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya rahmallahi.